Thanks. Let's pray. Father, will you speak to us this morning by your Spirit? We are your sheep. Lord Jesus, you said, my sheep hear my voice. Lord, we love to hear your voice. Speak to us, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. You know, today we are going to talk about the second part of tabernacle. And this tabernacle has to do with the tent. And why do we need to get so detailed instructions? I've got here an article that I'd like you to take a look. Some of you who knows, please keep quiet. Those who don't know, please can you look at it. And now we've got this article here. Do you know what it's? So if I tell you, I show this to you, what would you say it means? What is this? Do you know what this is? Have you seen it before? It's, you know, the color is gold. Yes. Somebody is mumbling out there, but have you seen this before?
No.
You've seen the color, right? So I said to you, if you have seen this, and then you have never seen it before, and then now I ask you, firstly, I have to tell you what it is, and then secondly, I have to tell you what it is, and then after that, how are you going to use this? So if you look at it, you see firstly there's something here, right? It's for you to hang something. Not you know, it's for hanging, right? So you know the color is made of gold. Well, it looks like it's made of gold. And why is it gold? So you have to start thinking. Now, so how does it work? So I'm sure some of you will say, well, look at it, it's got four legs and it's got a red stomach. You ask me, what is this? Now you know something more, right? All right. Then I will ask you, how do you use this? So you say, please turn it around and show me how to use it. And how do you use this? Will you know? Do you know how? I show you this. Do you know how it operates? So, of course, you look up and down, you look for how to operate, you don't know, right? So, I have to not only tell you what it is later, but I have to... So, if I first saw this, guess, what do I do? So, I look at my box, what do? I look for instructions. All right, it's got instructions, and I have to follow. But this instruction is, although it's clear, I may not know what it means. So I say, well, it's a lot of Chinese words, and it's got all, everything is round, 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 round. And then it's got four legs like a tortoise. But then how do you? So I tell you now, please operate this machine. How will you do? That's why you need instructions, right? Therefore, when God wants us to make use of something, He has to give us instructions. Now, when you read these instructions, are you looking for some stories? Of course not. There's no story here. Instructions are very boring if you don't know what is used. But if you got use for this, wow, these instructions are very, very useful. So you ask, okay, Pastor, tell us what this is. How does it work? So if I tell you now, just follow these instructions. So how do you work on this? Firstly, you have to look for some button, right? Now, where's the button? So finally, you discover this. There's a button somewhere, because you know some things need to be Then finally, you look carefully, you see there's a button here. So the instruction says, if you want to use this, you must press at the correct place. And then you must hold it. Then you see there's a blue color coming out. And then we press this and see the blue color coming out. Then you see this tortoise moving its legs. Then you say, well, what? So it must have power from somewhere. So you look at it, and for the first time, I couldn't find how it's going to find the power. Then you look up carefully, you see there's a little hole here. If I didn't tell you, you didn't know there's a hole here, right? And guess what? With all this moving, so I want to stop it, I have to go back to this switch, and then I have to press it. But it's faster. So how? So it says, then you have to go back to the instruction. You say you must hold and twice. Or you must hold longer. Then it stops. All this is because instructions. So how do I know how to use this? It's instructions. But if it's moving, what is it for? Of course, for those of you who always fail exams, you need the brains to move, so you put here, you move, and help your brains to, okay. So, when you read instructions, don't expect stories. Instructions are very useful for the purpose. Likewise, when you read Exodus, Leviticus, it is God's instructions. Don't look for stories. Don't say, oh yeah, very boring. No, there are instructions as to how to make use of something. Something very useful. Something that changes your lives. Something that determines your destiny. So this is a very important instruction. And then, then you say, well, how do you get it powered up? Well, in the tabernacle, you need power. So you see something like this. This one you know. You have seen it. So, when we come to the book of Leviticus and Exodus, look for instructions. But what instructions? So today we said that we are going to look at what Moses said. God said, told them, this is God's instruction. Make a sanctuary for me. And what's the purpose? I'll dwell among them. So what kind of sanctuary? Anyhow? No. God is very specific. Because the sanctuary that God is giving instruction is a replica of something that happens in heaven. So you don't anyhow build a sanctuary. All right. So today, I want to talk about the sanctuary that God asks us to build. So I'm going to start with giving you a number of things that you, the instructions God gives. If we call it a pattern, so in your notes, you say the C is para 2. So I'll jump quickly to para 2 because today's sermon is a bit detailed. I need a bit more time. You have to read it for yourselves, the notes. But from 2, it says the pattern of worship. So God gives instruction. It is worship. And so we know about that. God says there's such a thing as a place. Some people say, can I worship at home? Is that the place for worship? Place, people, who are going to be involved in this worship? Thirdly, there's a period, a timetable for worship. There is a paraphernalia for worship. There's a protocol, order, authority for worship. And there's a procedure for worship. So all these are spelled out in the instructions. So some people say, well, if I don't have these instructions, can't I just follow my heart? But the word of God says your heart is desperately wicked. It gets crooked also. And God has to make it clear for us. So these are a few areas I want to cover very quickly. But so as we talk about God's these principles, you will have to keep your Bibles open. And so let me begin with going straight into the pattern of worship that God has established for His people, not only for Israel, but for all of us. Okay? We don't copy people. We don't copy religions. We don't copy mega church. We copy only one, God's stated pattern. So those instructions are very clear. What are they? All right. Some of you have already got this. So this is my overview of what I'm going to cover this morning. You have to listen very carefully because I've got a lot of ground to cover. Firstly, God talks about a place of worship. The place of worship is the tabernacle that has to be built. Okay. The tabernacle. We're going to talk a little. Last week you heard what is a tabernacle. I hope you remember what was main, give us a lot of details, plus a sheet of what not only the tabernacle, but the details. So this is a place God has chosen. And sometimes this place is called the tabernacle of meeting or tent of meeting. That means it's a meeting place God has appointed. Jesus, when He resurrected, He also had an appointed place for meeting. Not anyhow, not anywhere. Of course, personally, you can worship God anywhere. But for corporate worship, there is a designated place. We're going to talk about this. We are going to talk about the period of worship. It says it must be weekly, every seventh day. So we call it a Sabbath. There's a period. I'm going to talk about this in detail. There is a paraphernalia I would like to talk together with the place of worship shortly. I'll give a quick review from which is this is covered last week. And then there's protocol of worship, means order or authority structure, protocol, not any old how, not anyone. Just we need, this is given. And then there's a procedure for worship. All right. So all this worship is God's pattern. And according to Leviticus 9:16, this is worship God in a prescribed way. The word prescribed is the word prescribed by law, that law of worship that God has given. Prescribed is always a written order. Prescription has got an order that you need to follow. Of course, you can follow things blindly, but no, we need to understand what are the details. But God has prescribed how we are supposed to worship. Not anyhow. Not follow your heart. Not follow people, but follow. So there are 25 chapters of details God has given. From chapter 20 of Exodus, which is the second half of Exodus, to the first 10 chapters of Leviticus, God gives detailed instructions. Sometimes you may find it boring, but those are, if you want to worship God, this is the way. Don't do it your way. And don't do it other people's way. When I was 4 years old, I saw my mother worshiping God, and she asked, "Mom, Mother, what are you doing?" She said, "I'm worshiping the God of heaven." She used three chopsticks. And I saw my father caught hold of a chicken, slit his throat, and then sprayed the blood in front of the altar in our home, and I asked my mother, "Can you tell me more how I can worship God?" And so my mother, after she got off, she kneeled in front of the altar and joysticks to heaven. She said, I'm praying to the God in heaven. So I also, she left. I also went and kneeled down. I said, God, I don't know much about you, but I want to worship you, the God of heaven. So that's my first thought. But sadly, nobody taught me anymore. And I learned quite, took me a long time to find out what is God's way. So last week we covered some already. But God says, if you follow this, my presence will go with you. Presence of God is very important. Not just the blessings of God. People come to church because they think there'll be blessing. People come to God because they think, I'm doing God a favor. Or at least I'm doing the elders a favor. So when I come, please you smile at me. You know, we got transactions in mind. But God has a prescribed pattern. And when you worship this way, God said, I'll be present. Okay. So this means that in your notes, I will now try to begin with the second paragraph. So those of you who are following, this will be the pattern. And I want to explain all these details. And so that you have to study this on your own, because I have to go as fast as I can. Okay, so there is a place of worship. What is a place of worship? It's called a tabernacle. And so tabernacle simply means a tent. But in Bible language, we are talking about a specific tent. This specific tent. It's not just a tent. It's a place that God meets with man. Okay. So last week, you have got this details given to you called the tabernacle. And the details are here. And you need to understand that all these objects called the tabernacle and the paraphernalia of the tabernacle is just to help us direct our attention to the prescribed way of worship. So in this picture, we will see that there's an entrance 10 meters wide. And this is called the curtain at the entrance. All these are recorded in Exodus chapter 25 onwards. So you notice that it has got a barrier so that nobody just anyhow walk in. Animals don't anyhow walk in. There's an order. The first thing you need to know about the tabernacle is the curtains, 10 meters wide. And the first thing you need to know, that there are three sets of curtains. All right. Here, the main entrance. Second, called the holy place entrance. Sometimes this is called the place of meeting. Now, so you'll see something about everything you see here speaks about Jesus. For instance, this curtain in front is made up of four colors. It's always throughout the entire tabernacle. Everything speaks of Jesus. First, you see the first color would be the color of purple. That speaks that Jesus is Lord and King. It requires a response. What's the response? Obedience to the King. He's Lord. That's the meaning. It speaks of the Lordship of Jesus. All right. Then secondly, the color that comes secondly would be what? So the purple color speaks of Jesus as King. You read this in the book of Matthew. Then there's a second color that these curtains use is white. It's called fine twine linen. That's the technical word used. It speaks of Jesus' humanity and a servant. So Jesus, although he's Lord and King, yet he's a lowly servant. Then, the third color that you see here is the color which is red. Red speaks of the blood of Jesus. He's the Savior of the world, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That's the purpose of this color, the blood. So when you come into the temple, the first thing you need to know is the blood of the Lamb of God. That's what Dr. Luke tells us in the Gospel of Luke. Then lastly, the Apostle John explains to us the blue color, which speaks of his deity, his God Almighty. So that every time you come into the temple of God, how will it help you in your worship? Think of these four colors as you come in. We don't have a curtain here, but, you know, try and visualize that this is what we are supposed to do. Every color speaks of Jesus. So these articles help us to focus on the person of Jesus. And the first thing that after passing the curtains, you have got the brazen altar. That's where sacrifice has to be made. Blood has to be shed. Because we are sinners, we cannot just walk in yaya papaya into God's presence. Every time you walk in, try and recognize, I'm coming because of the blood of Jesus. I don't just walk in because I'm a member or I'm so-and-so. No, we've got no standing at all. We are all sinners. And the law is that all sinners must die. But because of the Lamb that took away our world. So when we walk in, recognize that we are able to come into God's presence because of the precious blood, the death of Jesus. Then you see a little basin here. The big word, some translators use laver, but it's a basin of water, big basin of water. What does it speak of? It speaks of sanctification. Yes, I need to be washed by the blood, but my daily walk, maybe I may have fallen into sin. Therefore, I need to sanctify myself through what? This water speaks of the word of God, because Jesus said, Father, when he prayed, sanctify my people through the word I've spoken to them. That's why you have a covenant of the book, not just a covenant of the blood. The brazen altar covers the covenant of the blood. And the basin here speaks of a covenant of the book. We need both. Because this blood covers our past sins. But our present sin needs to be cleansed. That's called sanctification. Then you come to the second set of curtains. Same color. What are the colors? Purple, white, and blue. Always remember this. And the picture there is a picture of a cherubim. Remember why the cherubim is one of the angelic beings that previously prevent Adam from going back into the garden. But now the blood of Jesus opened that. Then what happened inside? Well, let me get you some more pictures. Then you have got the inside, which is, can see? So in the as you go there, now we go into the inside. This is called the holy place or the tent of meeting, sometimes called the tent of meeting. So here in the tent of meeting, you see on this north side, there's a table called Table of Showbread. Mei-ying, last week I really showed you pictures and asked you to design. How will it design? Okay, so this week I'll show you what's the correct design. So it has got showbread. Showbread speaks of the Word of God. We all are to be fed by the Word of God. Because man shall not live by bread alone, But every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, it speaks of a fellowship with God. Because, you know, when we eat something, we have relationship with someone close, we will eat together. That's a habit, right? So this bread speaks of the sharing. It speaks of the communion with God. We share. It's called show bread. But it's a bread that speaks of a fellowship with God, a communion with God. So today when we break bread once every month, that bread that talks about is similar to this show bread. When you take the bread, you say, Lord, I'm having fellowship with you. We are now eating together. It's a sharing together. It's not just bread for filling your stomach. Opposite on the south side, you got the, what do you call this? Yes. What? Sorry?
Lampstand.
All I agree, it's called lampstand. Okay. It's made of solid gold, roughly about 5 feet this height. It speaks of, and it's must lighted with the oil of olives, which is the very best oil. It must be lighted in the morning and evening. And it speaks of Jesus as light. And sometimes we see this as the Holy Spirit's presence. Okay, it speaks of Jesus. It speaks of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus is the light of the world. He's the one who cast out darkness. And then the third thing that is in here is what we call the altar of incense. Three things. Small altar. Can you see it on it? Okay. That's an altar. It's like a table, something this size. But it is where incense is offered. Not any old incense. Incense that is formulated based on God's instructions. And he must go every day. The priest must come and renew the light so that day and night the light must be on. The incense must be offered morning and evening continuously. This is in fellowship with God. Then you've got another set of curtains, sometimes called a veil. Same four colors. Speaks of Jesus. And so nobody gets through here until once a year on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. High priest, the highest ranking priest, in this case Aaron, can then enter in. All right. But he cannot any old how enter in. The prescribed way is he must be properly dressed from head to toe. And you see a lot of details. So please pay attention to the details, because without dressing this way, it is not allowed, even the high priest. So, and not any Tom, Dick, and Harry will enter, only a high priest. He wears this breastplate made of gold with 12 colors of the 12 tribes, speaking of when the priest comes into God's presence, he must represent everyone in the tribe. So if you belong to Jesus, you are on part of this breastplate. You are close to the heart of God. That's the purpose of this priest. And then he has got what is called the outer garment. This is called the ephod, which is got no sleeves. Then you notice all these colors follows the same thing that I mentioned. See, either blue, red, or so on. Or white. Then here at the bottom are a whole row of bells, and alternate with bells and pomegranate, all made of gold. And as he moves into the Holy of Holies, he will have to move and the bell will jingle. So nobody just come any old how. So on this, in this Holy of Holies is only one element. It's a box this big and this high and this wide. and it's called the Ark of the Covenant. There are two parts to this. One is a box. In that box are four things, rather three things. One, a jar of the what God has sent for them as food. What do you call it? Mana. And then there's this, the almond stick, which is the rod of Aaron. And then there's one more, the two tablets of the Ten Commandments. These representing God's presence. And then it's covered by a gold cover of, it's called the mercy seat. So this, every one of these details, Ming has explained last week. Please can you review? And that means nobody comes into God's presence safely until the day Jesus died on the cross and this veil was torn. Then we can come into God's presence. But that doesn't mean we come any old how. Okay, always come in as a worshiper. When you come, the worship comes up to here and everybody joins in corporate worship. There's a way to worship God. And the Bible says that the entry point, the psalmist says, enter the gates with what? Yes, thanksgiving and praise. So don't enter here and chit-chat and talk about motor cars. Please, we are trying to do praise. And so you have to participate as praise, praising God. Okay? And if you one of those who find this praise very boring, that's why you come at 10 o'clock, then I think you miss the whole picture. You have to, we are worshippers. And then, okay, so this garment speaks of a priest's garment. Now, the Bible says God in told the children of Israel when they arrived in the Mount of Mount Sinai, the holy place. What did God say to them? That they will become a people of a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So we are thinking the priests all wear like this. High priests also wear like this. To understand that we are coming into God's presence as priests, that includes women, children who understands worship. That's why we have to explain the detail. We are all priests. We are a holy people. We are a treasured possession. But Apostle Peter takes the same teaching. And what did he say? Peter says, you're a chosen generation. Didn't you read about this in Peter? I want to take time to show you because you need to know everything that Old Testament talks about, it is repeated in the New Testament. All right, let's look at this. 1 Peter chapter 2. Chapter 2. Verse 9. What does it say here? All right. Verse chapter 2, verse 9. So this is the same repetition that God's word tells us in verse 9. But can you read it together with me on this? All right, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a royal nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Okay, so the same thing God spoke in the ancient past to the Hebrew is where the originally God was talking about. He says, now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant. Chapter 19 of Exodus. You shall be what? A special treasure. Treasure people. Peter's calling them chosen. God has chosen you. But have you chosen God? Must be mutual. So God chose them. And above all people. Above all people, you are my treasure, God says. That's what it means by a chosen generation. For all the earth is mine. And you shall be what? To me, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. A holy nation. A people, Peter goes on to say, you're a people who belongs to God. Do you belong to God? If you do, then you have to pay attention to what God wants. If you don't belong to God, then you can forget about all this. If you're not a chosen generation, you're not a treasured possession of God, belonging to God, then it doesn't apply to you. But God has chosen you. And if you have chosen Him back, then you have got what is called a covenant with God. So this passage talks about what? Keep my covenant. You see? What covenant? Blood covenant and book covenant. We talked about this 2 weeks back. Now, so let me therefore now explain to you the details of this. So I've shown you what is a tabernacle. I've shared with you that this is God's meeting place. Because we get so used to working from home, we think we also worship from home. That doesn't apply for corporate worship. So let's talk about the tabernacle. So in my notes, I give you this. What happened? 2A, I'm talking about 2A now. What happens when there is no tabernacle and no instructions? You find the instructions boring. What happened if there are no instructions? Then this is what happened in the days of Moses. The first thing that happened is found in Exodus 32. That's why when God talked about how to build a tabernacle, which right in between all this instruction, right in between God gives this story about the people who worship God after they came out from Egypt. Okay, they tried to. And the key word you want to underline is the word, they did it God's, their own way. You see, the key word is not holy way, but their own way. Everybody is too lazy to find out what way God wants. Even Moses, he prayed, Lord, show me your way. But a lot of Christians come to church, hey, I worship God my way, you don't tell me what to do. Oh, worship leader, you worship your way, I worship my way. Well, that doesn't work. God says, worship them their own way. And what did they do? They had a golden calf. All of you know about this golden calf, isn't it? Do you know what the Bible says about this golden calf? That is found in chapter 32. Now let me show you what do we know about the golden calf. There's a word here that I want to point out about the golden calf. It says here, this is what happened in chapter 32. And he, Aaron, received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Can you see this word molded? See the word molded? What is molded? What must you... how do you make a mold? You know what's a mold, right? How do you make a mold? Yes. So to make a mold, you need to have an object prepare a sand bed, press it down into a sand bed, and then the image of an existing idol need to be present to press into the mold. Then you make a mold. You can only make a mold if you original have an idol of this object called a calf. So it's called molded calf. It's a mold. They made a mold. And then they melt the gold and pour it into the mold. That's how a lot of things are made, right? You have to make a mold. Now, this means that somebody carried the original object from Egypt. Maybe made of wood, maybe made of clay. I don't know what it's made of. But here they use an existing idol to make a mold. They carried this idol all the way from Egypt. You know, every one of us who have trusted Jesus, we carry a lot of idols from our past. We may not even realize it. Our own ideas about God. That's why when we read Old Testament, we say, hey, God is very unfriendly. He is very, very severe. Everything is wrong. No, that's because we carry this idea from our Egypt. They have left Egypt, but Egypt has not left them. That's why God wanted to allocate 11 months of learning. And before God began to teach halfway, they already go back to their old ways. They have more. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans in 12, 1, 2, and 3. He says, do not be conformed to the mold of this world. The mold of your past. Trouble is all of us carry a lot of mold from our past. We have idols, we don't even realize it. We've got things that we value. We've got habits that we do not, that prevents us from coming regularly to worship God. Our thinking when we come before God, when we sing these songs of worship, is, oh yeah, mafana. We carry a lot of idols from our past. We don't even realize it. So they didn't make a golden calf out of nothing. It was from an object they brought in from their past. So we got more. So Paul says, do not conform to the mold of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's why when you come to hear the word of God, you really have to actively engage with the speaker. If you just wonder, your mind keeps wandering and you didn't have the discipline of hearing God's word, you will forever have the old mold. Now, God says, destroy that mold. Now, be transformed by renewing your minds, your understanding regarding worship. Therefore, this becomes, without a church, without worship, without the gathering of God's people, there is no tabernacle. This is what happens. People begin to do it their way. And they not only that, not only have the object that is wrong, God already said, do not make any idol. But their way of worship was wrong. They were dancing, they were uncontrolled. Everybody did what was right in their own eyes. And the word of God says in verse 25 of chapter 32 that they did shameful things. I don't know what shameful things they do. Theologians said some of them decide to take off their clothes because it's just doing what they feel like doing. And God was so angry because they do shameful things in His presence. Remember where they are? At the foot of Mount Sinai? What kind of ground is this? Yes, it was holy ground. When you're on holy ground, don't do unholy things. That's why things happen, negative things happen, because you're on holy ground. When you come before the Lord to worship, this is holy ground. And so, 3,000 people were slaughtered because they just refused to listen, to stop. They carry on doing what they thought was right in their own way of worship. They did build an altar, but there's an altar to the golden calf. And they said, this is the Lord who brought us out of Egypt. That's downright insulting. God brought him out, but they give glory to the golden calf and say, oh, this one brought us out. That's downright insulting to God. And although Moses told them, stop, they did not stop until 3,000 people were killed by the sword. And they still refused to stop. God had to send a plague like COVID. And all of them begin to have flu symptoms. And it's all recorded in God's word. God sent a plague. And you see, when you keep insulting God, God may be a loving God, but when he's angry, he's very severe. God is not a just loving God. He's a God who is very severe when you insult him. When you stop honoring him, or you give glory to another, God says, I will not give my glory to another. That's why the objects in the tabernacle is to help us focus on Jesus, on God himself. So that's why the tabernacle is a very important place. This meeting place is a very important place. Don't go elsewhere for worship. Okay? And so that's the first thing you need to know. I'm going to talk about the people a little bit. Your next para, I'm talking about 2B, the people. Who are supposed to be the worshippers? Now, God said, you are my chosen generation. Or in Moses' time, you are my treasured possession. You are my people. You belong to me. And so Peter says, you are chosen generation, a people who belongs to God. If you don't belong to God, this doesn't apply. But if you are my people, then you are my to be worshippers. So what's the condition given in chapter 19 when God called them into worship? God says, because you are what? If you keep my covenant, obey my voice. Can you see this? The conditions. Because you keep my covenant. So as a people of God, you are covenant people. Therefore, you must keep your covenant. If you are not covenant people, there's nothing to keep. But God says, if you are my covenant people, keep my Sabbath. This is one of the things that throughout Exodus, one feature about when I read Exodus, again and again, God reminded them. And God always reminded them about the fourth commandment. You know, first, second, third, I thought is very important, right? You shall have no other gods. Hey, you are the people of God, at least remember 10 commandments. I didn't ask you to memorize 613 commandments, but just 10. So the first three, I always thought was very important. Of course it is. Shall not have any other God. Second, you shall not do a BMW. What is that? Do not bow down. Do not make and do not worship any idol. God give a long explanation. Then do not take his name in vain. Then the fourth was that. Yeah. Keep it holy. Keep the Sabbath holy. Because you are my people. Yet, so what kind of people? People who are chosen by God. We are holy priesthood. What do priests do? Stand before God to represent people. So you pray for others. And you represent God to the people. So these are what we call holy priesthood. However, there's one thing you need to know about the people. You know, we are, our church is called a Brethren Church. In this church called Brothers and Sisters, one of the key distinguishing factor in our group, in this kind of church, is that all are what we call the priesthood of believers. That means every one of us are supposed to be priests representing God. I showed you the picture of the priest just now. We are supposed to stand before God. We are supposed to offer incense or prayers. This is what a priest is supposed to do. You have to learn to be a priest. Priest, every time I say priest, don't think of the Pope wearing the white overall, garb, and then only special. No, the priesthood of believers means every one of you, without exception, are supposed to function as a priest. That's what you are. You need to know what you are before God. That's why as a priest, as I stand before God and I pray for people who are sick, God will hear my prayers and heal the sick, because I'm a priest. Okay. As a priest of God, I can cast out demons, because a priest has authority. Hey, it's a wonderful position to be a priesthood of believers. That's what Hebrews talk about. And we believe that we are priesthood of believers is one of the key doctrines that we emphasize in what we call Brethren Churches. And then you are a holy nation. We are a nation, you know, a spiritual nation, the kingdom of heaven. But it's a holy nation. But why can I not hold? If I refuse to be holy, is it okay or not? Well, the Word of God says holiness matters because without holiness, no man can see God. No man can come before God. So holiness become very important. We already talk about what's holiness, being set aside for God. Serving God, we will reserve ourselves for God's use, not for the devil's use. So we are a people. Are you a people of God or not? So if you are people of God, you are supposed to be a worshiper. But we are a chosen generation, remember. So the four things that Peter re-emphasized, you are a chosen generation, a whole royal priesthood, means your priesthood belongs, you are priests of the King, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. And what's the purpose of this priest? To declare the praise of God. NIV used the word, to declare His praise. To declare how great He is. That's why when we meet on Sunday morning, we praise God. That's why we render praise to God. That's what we are supposed to do as royal priests. We come together, we praise God. The worship leader helped us with the music to flow. This morning, I was glad many of you did move your body a bit, you know. That's great. Do it a bit more, all right? Don't expect every time for you to do so, but on your own, be a worshiper. So, a people that declares the praise of God. We declare it through songs. That's why the song of worship is an important part of the instruction. But sometimes, here in this case, God called them stiff-necked people. Now, that's a terrible term, because the children of Israel, after they worship other gods, God called them a stiff-necked people. You know, have you ever got stiff-necked before? If you haven't, you sleep another 8 hours without moving, you might get stiff-necked. What is a stiff-necked? A stubborn person who refuses to change. If his neck is bent like this, he'll walk in, right? Because he cannot see any other way. A stiff-necked determines the kind of choices you make. God says, you are stiff-necked people. You are very stubborn. I refuse to go with you. My presence will not go with you. Sometimes God, in this particular case, God said, I'll bless you with the land, but you go, I won't go with you. So, you know, for Singaporeans, we are very happy, right? God got blessing. He doesn't come with us, never mind. At least I got blessing. Is this the mentality of most church members? You come to church, I'll be prayed for. Because I come because I expect God to bless me. Yeah, but His presence is more important than just His blessing. Because you see this in your internet video, a lot of stories like it gets a bit very repetitive. Here is this young man, handsome young man. He's courting this girl. So first time she invites her, first date, he invites her. She invites her to a lunch. And guess where he with the appointed place? KFC. So brought her to KFC. First date, KFC. How many of you guys took the risk, you brought your girlfriend to first date to KFC? Sure die one, right? So this young man brought her to KFC and said, okay, let's have our lunch here in this wonderful cafe, KFC. And the girl scolded him upside down. This girl said, look, I spent 2 hours doing up my hair, put on my makeup and dress so nicely, and nine beautiful gown. You expect me to eat lunch here in this kind of a place? Of course, she scolded him upside down, right? Hey, young guys, remember this story, all right? Don't bring her to KFC. Not first day lunch. Okay, then. After married, maybe. All right. So this story goes like this. So the young man says, got scolded upside down, so he stood there, and he said, the girl said, what have you got to say for yourself? And this brilliant young man said, you failed the test. The girl said, what test are you talking about? School some more. The test is, I want to find out whether you want my money or you want me. And then a huge Bentley car came by, chauffeured, came by and stopped in front of him. He opened the door, went in, sit down. Bye-bye. I thought, what a corny story this is. But then I read this chapter 32, I say that's exactly what happened. The people want the blessings. And when God says, my presence will not go with you, the people are quite happy. No need to come. Just give blessing can already. But Moses was different. Moses said, if your presence don't go with us, don't take us forward. I don't want any blessing because you are my blessing, Lord. You mean more to me than the blessings you are offering. You are more important to me than all those so-called blessings. And so, as a people of God, I don't know what you think of worship. If you think of this as coming as a transaction, oh, I come so God will bless me, then I think you got it wrong. God said that's a stiff-necked people. One-sided, only thinking of getting things, but not a person in relationship. So the people of God needs to worship. Then next thing, 2C is what I'm going to cover now. All right, I'm going to talk a little bit extensively on this period. Period is, how serious is God about His people keeping the Sabbath? Now, the word is keeping the Sabbath. So in this story, by the time it came to the New Testament, so Revelation chapter 1 calls this, change the term Sabbath into the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day is similar to the Sabbath concept, except that it shifted one day later. Today is called Sunday. This originally was the first working day of the week. But because the church shifted on Sunday, so the whole world changed and followed, except for Muslim countries, of course. Now, this is the Lord's Day. And the question is, the word serious. Is God so serious? Because you read in Exodus, at least four times God said, tell the people, keep the Sabbath. The ones who did not keep the Sabbath, put into death. So in my small group last week, we were discussing, does this still apply today or not? For sure, if this apply, all of us should turn up on, right? So if I'm a lousy preacher, I would say, hey, it still applies, you better watch out. Then make sure the church will be fully attended. No, the issue is, does it still apply? In a way, yes. In a way, no. In other words, in eternal matters, it might result in eternal death. Why? Very simple. I use the word here is, do we make ourselves available to God? So if I say, keeping the Sabbath or keeping the Lord's Day, I don't think it's so serious. God seems to take it very seriously. Again and again, God repeated, keep the Sabbath. He didn't repeat, make sure you have, do not make idols, do not worship idols. No, the other commandment, or do not murder, or do not commit adultery. Out of the 10, God only repeated one, keep the Sabbath. Because God knows that if the time is not available to God, all the others fall apart. If I got no time for God, God will have no time for you. That's if I got no time for God, why should God make time for me? Then you need to understand this logic. So availability is very important. Because what I do with my time determines my priorities. It means that if I have no time for God, that means I'm telling God, it's good to attend church, you know, I can learn some things, but you are not very important. My business is more important. My golfing game is more important. My recreation is more important. My business making money is more important. That's why I'm not available. You see, too many Christians think this is an option. Oh, but that's Old Testament, right? Yeah, but did Jesus keep the Sabbath? He certainly did. Did the apostles keep the Sabbath? Yes, but the day of Pentecost came. After that, when the church was established, everybody meet on the first day of the week. That was their Sabbath. But we call it the Lord's Day. So here, the first thing you need to know is God says, are you available or not? If you say, no, I got other things to do. I got holidays. Of course, if you've gone to United States, you might take a bit longer. But what I mean is your daily schedule. Is it scheduled in to keep the Sabbath? So when God said about death penalty, what he's saying is, he mean business. So the issue is God serious about this? Of course, God doesn't want us to make it legalistic. Legalistic means you say to everyone, hey, I go to church every Sunday, you know. You got go or not? I got. You see, every Sunday I attend church. If you take my attendance, it's 100 upon 100. Well, that's a legalistic way of doing it. Or you think, oh, if I don't keep the Sabbath, God will take away the blessing. These are what I call legalistic way. But God says, are you available or not to meet corporately? But because we have never preached on this, and therefore, we think God is not serious about it. If a King of Kings had an appointment with you, is it okay for you to say, I'm not free? So God's purpose of repeating this commandment is what? Because we are treasured possession, Therefore, is God our treasured possession? You see, all relationships are mutual. If God treats me as a treasured possession and I don't treat him as a treasured possession, there's something wrong. It's unequal. So, in my notes I said, it is, we respect God as holy. In other words, in the early days, you know the word holiday we have. Nowadays when I say the word holiday, what do you think of? Go Japan. Go Yunnan. Chongqing. Very nice. Those of you who haven't been to China, maybe you would think. Others would say, go Batam. Shopping. You know, what is your idea of this holiday? The original word for holiday means is a holy day. Holy means set apart for God. That's what a holy day is. And why is the reason? Because firstly, the keeping of the Sabbath is firstly a sign. Sign of what? Sign that you and I have a covenant relationship with God. That means God is obligated to take care of me. I'm obligated to love him and worship him. So Exodus used the word S-O-W, soul. Soul means what? First, we serve God, we obey him, and we worship him. This is what is spelled out in chapter 23 of Exodus. So if you are one of those who do so, then that's how a holy day is to be preserved. So the Lord's Day is basically a sign that we have and God have a covenant. Secondly, it's to fulfill the covenant of the book. Because this is what God told us. This is what I would like you to do for me. I'd like to meet up with you and corporately. Because we are a nation of priests. Priests spends time in worship and leading others into worship. Three important. Because this is distinguishing us as a nation of priests. That's a distinguishing mark. That's why we need at least three important reasons why God wants us to keep this Sabbath. It's a sign of a relationship. So if I don't keep it, it's a sign that I have no relationship. Now, how should we keep the Sabbath? It says, keep it holy. That means set aside for God's use. How do we keep it holy? There's one verse I'd like you to look at and I want to share with you. How do we keep it holy? Now, Isaiah, the prophet, gives us a very important verse, a verse that I memorized as a teenager. And I found it one of the most important, what I call, life verses I have. Now, in the last verse of Isaiah 58, let me highlight this for you. It is a very important verse. And so, verse 13 and 14 gives you the how we keep it holy. All right, let's look at what it says. First, he says, if you turn away from your feet from the Sabbath, but I prefer the NIV here. NIV is clearer. NIV, do we have NIV on media? This is a bit more clearer. Okay. There are three ifs here in these verses. So he's talking first, turning your foot from the Sabbath. What do you mean by turning your foot from the Sabbath? The NIV says that if you do not depart from making
the Sabbath.
I think that's clearer. It's called, it says, if you stop breaking, is so keeping the Sabbath. Very good. Let's read this together. One, two, go. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath, from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable. And if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking your idle words. Okay, we stop here for a moment. So there are several things here you mentioned. The first thing is, you must not keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath. That means feet has to do with your where you go. It decides where you go. How do you keep it? From doing as you please on my holy day. So the Lord's Day is a holy day. You don't do as you please. This phrase is repeated again. If you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, that means I see God's this day as a delightful event for me. I take delight in it, and it's a day that is honorable before God. And then if you honor it by not going your own way, can you see the word going your own way? And not doing as you please. So remember, the Lord's Day don't belong to you. Don't do as you please. And don't do things your own way. Now the next verse 14, gives you some promises. Now further, if you find your joy in the Lord, I will cause you, you see, this is what God says I'll do. I'll cause you to ride in triumph on the heights of the land. This phrase means God will exalt you, honor you as well. And to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. Now, feast on the inheritance. What's the inheritance of the father Jacob? Well, the key word is inheritance. What was Jacob's inheritance? Same inheritance as given to his grandfather Abraham. It was the land. There is an inheritance that is reserved for people who obey God by honoring Him, by delighting on the Sabbath. It's a choice you have to make. And I like this verse because it says, the key thing is, do not do it your own way. Then finally, you will have the inheritance. Okay, so this passage is one of my life verses. Okay, give me a bit more time because this topic is quite extensive. So, the worst form of dishonor is giving excuses for breaking the Lord's Day. Breaking it tells God we have other things more important than Him. It's like dating Him. You know, dating means you're not married. Oh, when you're free, then you date this girl. But you're not married, so no obligations. So it's called dating. Many Christians only do dating. Come to church when it's convenient or when there's nothing else to do or maybe to find girls. I don't know. Some people say, when I first told my brother who attended church, he was in a Catholic church. I said, I want to go to church. He said, why you want to go to church? Find girls, he said. I was only 12 years old. So it's a bit early to find girls, but he suspects. Now, paraphernalia, I've talked last week, you've discussed. I've just now explained as part of the. But the protocol is what I want to close with. Give me a bit more time on this. Leviticus 10 tells us something that is very frightening. And so in Leviticus 10, we have got this incident where I need to close with this one. It says here that Nadab and Abihu were the priests already chosen by God, by the way, and each took his censer and put fire in it and put incense in it and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So this is what So the scenario is this, that the tabernacle had been finished, completed exactly as God wanted, and so God's presence came. And God's glory filled the whole place, the tabernacle. All the people saw with awe God's holy presence coming in their midst. And in the midst of all this glorious manifestation of God's presence, here these two priests decided to do something adventurous. What did they do? They took the censer offered to God, and then what happened? It was called profane fire, or NIV used unauthorized fire, and then he, which God had not commanded, and then so fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, they must regard me as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified." Firstly, you must regard God as holy. That means something holy is opposed to common. When you treat something as common, commonplace, instead of holiness, is offensive to God. The second reason why God killed both of them was I must be glorified. Means NIV used the word I must be honored. Two things. So this is under what we call protocol. And I've got here means authorization. When Nadab and Abihu dishonored God by offering unauthorized fire, that means there's a hierarchy of authority in the spiritual realm. And so everything, let me sum up this quickly. They offered the incense in every way it was wrong. First, they took their own censer. Offering incense must be Aaron's censer. Second, the coal must come from the brazen altar. It's all in the Bible, in the passage. They took, don't know from where. Thirdly, they put in an incense. And God already told them earlier that this incense can only be offered by Aaron, the high priest, not every Tom, Dick, and Harry. They just presume. They also said, you can lead, you are church leader, I also can lead. You take the mic, I also can take the mic. Is it so? You need to be appointed. And then, so six things was wrong, but protocol was the important thing. There are no respect for the leadership of the church, of the temple. And so they did what was right in their own eyes. God's presence was there. The Bible says they dishonored him. Meaning the opposite of honor is what? Insult. They insulted God. You know, God doesn't do this every time. But God, in this particular occasion, killed both of them, burned them alive. You know, it's very harsh, you say. But sometimes God has to make a statement to help us understand that worship is not something to be taken lightly. And so I've got something that for you to do. What kind of behavior? Show honor, respect his word, his covenant book. That means it includes the preaching of the word. Check your offering. What are you offering to God? Is it the very best? Because the offering we are giving must be the very best. In worship, use spiritual songs to praise his name. Are you participating? Okay, I don't know. So the important thing for protocol is we come before God. Don't put yourself up. We are humbly coming before God. We are being led by God's appointed leaders for worship. You don't come and take the mic and try to usurp authority. So the word protocol means order of authority. We need to maintain that. So six things we have learned today. Now, my closing question is, what kind of worshiper are you? Is there any change of mind? Do you recognize that we did do all these things because we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people that belongs to God, so that we might declare the praise of Him who brought us out of, who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light? Is that what you are choosing? If you are choosing today to be a true worshiper, this is what God has given to us as a pattern. Shall we all stand to respond? As your prayer to the Lord, shall we? You know this song?
picture.
He's Christ. Let's raise our voices. We declare his song. We are the people of the Lord. We are the people of the Lord. We are a holy
Let's
nation.
Lift your hands to the Lord.
The chosen generation. To show forth his praise. We are the people of the Lord. We are a holy nation. Deliver us in Jesus. Lifting up our voices to the Lord. We are the people of the Lord. We are a holy nation. A chosen generation called to serve forth his praise. We are the people of the Lord. We are a holy nation. Believe us in Jesus. Lifting up our voices to the Lord.
Yes, Lord. We declare we are holy people. A chosen generation. A royal priesthood. Because we belong to you. Therefore, we'll declare, Lord, your praise. Because you call us out of darkness into your wonderful light. We therefore dedicate our lives, Lord, that we'll not break the Sabbath. We'll not misuse your day, the Lord's day. But Lord, help us each one to know how, as we walk in before your holy presence, we'll be true worshippers, following this pattern that you have given to us. We pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.